Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins two lines from the top of daf Pei Amud Aleph. We continue with the general topic we've been dealing with, and that concerns the prohibition of raising behema daka, sheep and goats, in Eretz Yisrael. The topic heading that accompanies this section of Gemara, in fact, says just that, and we also indicate in the margin under the Nosei, the topic heading, that this discussion continues till Omid Beis. Gidul, the raising of, Ushiyas Behema Daka Beretz Yisrael, the raising of and the detaining or maintaining of light cattle in the land of Israel. Light cattle is a literal translation of Behema Daka, but it's a reference to sheep and goats. The Gemara. Shalu Tamidov es Rabban Gamliel. And we see the bracketed section. Within it is an expression that's not accurate in the eyes of the Gemara. Skipping the brackets for a moment. Mahu Lishois. The Talmidim, the students, ask Rabban Gamliel, is it mutter to detain an animal? Detaining is to keep it in your presence, generally speaking, until a particular time where you are going to slaughter it. We had, at the end of our previous year, examples of keeping an animal for 30 days before the market, or keeping it 30 days until the holiday or a wedding. So now let's go back over our source, but this time reading the bracketed section. The Talmidim asked Rabban Gamliel, Mahu legadel? Is it mutter to raise behema daka in Eretz Yisrael? Omar Lohen, he answered, mutter. It's allowed. They asked, but v'hatanan ein megadlin, but we have a Tanaic source that seems to be of a general agreement, ein megadlin, that you can't raise behema daka in Eretz Yisrael. So why would Rabban Gamliel answer in the affirmative that it is allowed when the Tanaic, when the Mishnah, and it's true Rabban Gamliel was a Tana also, but it's a Mishnah that seems to be of unanimous agreement. Elo hochi kabo'u mine. Rather, the students asked of Rabban Gamliel the following. Mahu lishois. Is it mutter to detain an animal, a behema daka? Omer lehen mutter. It is allowed. Ubelvad shelo teitze v'tir ba'eder, provided it doesn't go out and graze in the flock. Elo koishra bekare hamita. The method of dealing with an animal that you're going to keep around until a particular day is by tying it to your bed, tying it to a bed post or a leg of the bed. And with that, you'll be allowed to detain it. Tonu Rabbonan. Now, I mentioned detaining. I used a specific example. The Gemara, as it goes on, presenting a new story, you'll see that the issue of detaining is, in fact, not as limited as our examples purported to be. Let's continue in the Gemara and you'll see what we're speaking of. Tanu Rabbanan, Maise b'chosid echad, was an incident involving a particular righteous individual. The Gemara in Temura says that when you see the expression Maise b'chosid echad, it's a reference to either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbeloi. So there is a name behind this title of Chosid Echad, one of those two great rabbis. So an incident involving this righteous individual, Shohoya Gineach Milibo, he was suffering from chest pains, maybe angina. Rashi gives you a French word for this, and he says, also tzoik mipnei ke'ev alev lohoy yocho lohashivucho. He was experienced shortness of breath. Veshalu loroifim, they asked the doctors, viamru, and they said, ein lo takona, there is no solution, at sheinak cholov roiseach mishachris l'shachris, unless he suckles hot milk from morning till morning. Each morning, suckle warm milk. The hevilo eis, they brought to him a goat, the koshulo bekare hamita, and tied it to the legs of the bed. V'hoya yoinek mimeno mishachris l'shachris, and every morning yoinek mimeno means he suckled from it. Liyomim nichnesu chaver of levakro. After a while, his colleagues went to visit him. Kevon shiro oisa eis kshura bekare hamita. When they saw the goat tied to the legs of his bed, chazru la'achorehem v'yomru, they withdrew and declared, "Listem mezuyan beveso shelzev anu nichnosin etzlo." He's harboring an armed bandit, an expression referring to the goat. The goat, as we've indicated in our previous year, the tendency of these animals is to wander and graze through other people's fields, ruining them. So they term it an armed bandit. So this man is harboring this criminal, the goat, and we're going into his house. Yoshvu Bodku, they sat and investigated and checked out the Lomotsubala Oisa Avoin Shal Oisa Eis. They found that he had no sins. He was sin free except for that goat. The Af Hu Bishas Misose Omar, and he, the Chosid Echad, said at the time of his death, Yodeani She'ein Bi Avoin Ela Oisa Ha'eis. I know that I have no sins except for that goat, Shavarti al Divrei Chaverai. I transgressed the words of my colleagues, the Rabbonon. I noticed in the Shita Mekubetzes, in that particular sefer, Shita Mekubetzes, he quotes the commentary of the Gaon, and in that citation, he has the following text, and we've included it in the note that we have in the upper part of our margin. And in that text, he says that this chosid said, "I violated my colleague's words," and I'm now reading from that text on the side of the Gemara. Shavarti al divrei chaver shoy oimrim ein megadlin kol iker, v'somachti al divrei rabon gamliel. So that the chosid referred to in this story was relying on the heter we saw in the source above, cited by Rabban Gamliel, that you can detain an animal provided you tie it to the legs of your bed. And hence, I made the comment earlier that the issue of detaining an animal is not necessarily limited to the issue or the 30-day example of keeping an animal before market day or a wedding. Here you can see the time frame was kind of open-ended. Omar Rabbi Yishmael, we continue in the source. Mibali batim shebegolu ha'elion hoyu beis abo. Rabbi Yishmael tells us that his father's home, his father's family, came from the families, the bali batim of the Upper Galilee. Why did they suffer destruction? Shoyumarin b'chorshin. And right, we have number two in brackets, a second problem that they had. But after the brackets, you find an explanation of point one. So if you skip the brackets for a moment, the report that Rabbi Shmuel gave us was that they allowed their animals to graze in forests. V'afapi shehoyu lohem chorshim somuch lebateim, sodachas ketana hoisa umavirin derech oleha. Now, this point involving Marin Bechorshin we know that it's allowed. We learned that in a Mishnah that you're allowed to have the behema daka graze in forests. You're allowed to raise them in forests. The problem is what the Gemara just said after the brackets, and that involved the Sode Kitana. Now, we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's go over the source again, but reading it straight through. We were told by Rabbi Shmuel why his father's family was destroyed, those that were in the Upper Galilee. It says, Shoyumarin Bechorshin, they allowed, they grazed their behema dakas in the in forests. And Rashi says they grazed their own animals in forests. And in the source, number two, in the brackets, Fidonin Dine Momenis Biochid, and they judged matters of a monetary controversy in Biochimis, with one judge. Dine Momenis, as the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, right at the beginning, require three judges. So they violated the rule in how to conduct court cases by having only one judge. The afapi shohoyu lohem chorshin somech lebatehen, and even though they had forests near their houses, and that would be a reason for being lenient, so then why were they punished? Sodek tanahoisa, there was a privately owned small field, umavirin derechol, and they allowed their animals to cut through that privately owned small field, and the animals passing through the field ruined that owner's field, and for that they were punished. Before we go further, we have a topic heading. The topic heading is presented in a very, we'll say, abstract fashion. But it reads as follows. Dugmos, there are examples in this source involving tshuva, repentance. Number two, ger, a issue of conversion or a convert. And three, nisuin, marriage. What is common to each one of these cases is shebohem, lo mechayvin lufol ba'ofen miyadi. We don't expect, say, immediate action. That is a very very vague introduction, but nevertheless, it sets the tone for the source. Tana Rabbanan, roya she'asa tshuva, a roya, someone who shepherds his own animals, who wants to repent, in other words, not to raise the behema daka anymore, withdraw from raising sheep and goats. We don't impose upon him the obligation to sell immediately. Elo mocher al yad, little by little, he's getting rid of his flock, so he would be selling it, let's say, for slaughtering purposes, and we don't expect him to sell his entire flock in one shot, little by little. V'chein ger shenaflu lo klovim v'chazirim birushoso. A convert. He converted to Judaism. His Gentile father died, leaving property. And included in the property were dogs and swine. We learned that it's also prohibited to raise them. So what are we to expect of this convert who just inherited dogs and swine? We don't force him to sell everything immediately. He sells them off little by little. Likewise, someone who vowed to buy a house and to marry a woman in Eretz Yisrael. We don't force him to acquire immediately. Ad shimtzos hagenes lo, until he finds the proper wife fit for him. There was an incident with a woman who was being troubled or oppressed, bothered by her son. She lunged forward and swore, "Call me sheyavoy eini machziroso. Anyone who comes my way, I will not turn him away." In other words, she was apparently she was a widow, and she had a son that was bothering her, and because she was without a husband, so she felt. The oppression, we'll say, of her son. She felt unprotected. And all kinds of unworthy, unfit people tried to take advantage of her and in their attempt to marry her. And when the matter came to the Chomer, after all, this woman said that anyone who comes my way, I'm not going to turn them away. On the other hand, you have all of these unworthy people coming to her. And the matter came to the Chomer. They said, "Omru lo niskavnazu ela lahagun la." When she said, "I'm not going to turn anyone away," it means I'm not going to turn any desirable, any fit individual away. Kishem shomru ein megadlim behema dako, kach omru ein megadlim. Just like there is a prohibition of raising the behema daka, sheep and goats, so too it's prohibited to raise chaya daka. Rashi says regarding chaya daka, deer and foxes. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Megadlim, Klovim, Koifrim, V'chasulim, V'koifin, V'chudasnoyim, V'nei shasuyim, L'nakos Abayas. Rabbi Shmuel says that we do allow the raising of klovim koifrim. What are klovim koifrim? So there are, Rashi has two explanations. One is the very small dogs, chihuahuas, dachshunds. They're small and dwarf-like. Another explanation Rashi gives is they're large dogs, but they're hunting dogs. They're hunting dogs are dogs that don't attack. They're not attack type dogs. They don't cause fright, and hence they are allowed. In the source, we also saw Rabbi Shmuel say you can raise chasulim. Chasulim are often translated as cats. Koifim, apes. Chudasnoyim, the Gemara will deal with that. The word snoim is the plural form of the word sne. Sne is a bush, maybe a thorn bush, but it's a bush. And one is allowed to raise these, b'nei shasuyim l'nakos habayis, because they, literally, they clean the house from mice. So they take care of the mice, and hence they are desirable to have around. My chudasnoyim, what creature is referred to? Amar Rav Yehuda, Sharza Chartza. That's what it is in Aramaic. V'ikod Yamri, another take on what chudasnoyim are. Charza or Chartza, diktini shake, that has very thin, short legs. V'raya beni vardini, and it grazes amongst Vardini. Vardini is a, Rashi says, sneh, type of bush. Umay Sharza. Why is the creature referred to as Sharza? Sharza essentially is a sheretz. A sheretz is generally explained as a type of creeping creature. So why is this thing called a Sharza? The mitzioi shake. It has very short legs, so it gives you the impression of being something like a sheret, something like as if it's creeping along. We have a new marking, a volcano shape on the side under our mivneh. The structural note we indicate shnei lishonos b'halochas. There are two versions of the halacha that we're going to be reading. We open up with names. Omar of Yehuda Marav. There is another girsa that we've indicated on the side that has Rav Huna instead of Rav Yehuda. And personally, I would prefer that Girsa, as a, it makes the story that follows easier to appreciate. So I'm going to read here is Omar Rav Huna Omarav. Asino atzmeinu bebavel keretz Yisrael lebehema daka. We made ourselves in Bavel. We accepted upon ourselves in Bavel the practice of Eretz Yisrael regarding behema daka. What does that mean? Well, in Eretz Yisrael, there is a prohibition of raising behema daka. So in Bavel, we accepted that restriction. Rashi says about a quarter of the way up from the bottom, the Bavel Keretz Yisrael, Shemiyom Golus Yechonia, from the time of the exile of Yechonia, which was a few short years before the destruction of the first base Hamikdash, Ravu Sham Tamidim, there was an increase of Torah students, Venis Yashvu Sham Yishuv Kavu, and they established a permanent dwelling there. So we made ourselves in Bavel, and Rashi just described the significance of Bavel, a permanent Jewish community with Torah scholarship. And so Rav Huna tells us that we accepted the Eretz Yisrael practice of restriction of raising Behema Daka. Omar Le Rav Ado Bar Ava Le Rav Huna Didcha Mai. Rav Ada turns to Rav Huna, who just said that there's a prohibition of raising the Behema Daka, and he asks Rav Huna, what's with yours? You have a Behema Daka. Omar Le, so Rav Huna says, Didon, mine, Kamintura Lu Chova. Chova is the name of his wife. So Rav Huna tells Rav Ada, my wife, Chova, by name, that's her name, Mintura, she watches so that as far as my own animal is concerned, it's under guard, and the fear of it grazing into other people's fields is unfounded. Omar Le, Rav Ado responds, Chayva, tikberinu livna. There's a discussion as to what he just said, but the simple pshat is that he cursed. He said, let Chova bury her son. Rashi says, Tikbrinu Lufna, Shata Seymech Aleav, he ain't a Yecholu Lishmar. You're relying on her, and she can't possibly effectively or conscientiously supervise the Behema Daka. So that you're allowing, the ruination of people's fields with your Behema Daka. It's not going to be watched. Kulo shone the Rav Ado Bar Ava, all the years of Rav Ado, lo ikayem zara the Rav Huna mechova. Rav Huna did not have any children from Chova. That would be a fulfillment of the curse that Rav Ado mentioned. Iko diamri, another version. Omar Rav Huna, osinu atzmenu bebovel keretz Yisrael lebehema daka. We made ourselves in Bovel like Eretz Yisrael regarding Behema Daka, Michi also Rav LeBovel, from the point in time that Rav arrived in Bovel. Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, and when he came, we accepted the practice of Eretz Yisrael. What's the significance of Rav's arrival in Bovel? So Rashi says, Michi also Rav LeBovel, number one, he has two pshatim. Ravu Misyashvin Sham Bnei Yeshivasa, because he established a Torah academy in Bavel, many people were drawn to it. So a large Jewish community developed around that which Rav established. And with the increased Jewish community, so there's Jewish fields, Jewish property, and hence the concern involving the Behema Daka. Lishna Achrina, another pshat Rashi has, Hu ba velindenu lizoyer bekach. He came and taught us to be careful. Shirosham Roiv Yisrael v'yishuv kavua. He saw that there was a large community in Bavel, a permanent type community, and hence Rav taught the need to restrict Behema Daka. We continue in the Gemara with an incident, and we call it a Maisa. We use a long marking, taking you down the first few lines of Omid Beis. Here is an incident. It involves three rabbis, Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Asi, Iklu, Lebei, Shavua HaBen. They went to a Shavua HaBen, a Bris Mila, a circumcision. The Amri Law, another version, is Lebei Yeshua HaBen. There are different pshatim in what Yeshua HaBen means. Rashi suggests a meal, a banquet, celebrating a Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen, the redemption of a firstborn male child. There's another pshat that you find in the Tosfos, says that Yeshua HaBen is a gathering, a meal after a child is born to celebrate his surviving the birth. Either way, you have three rabbis visiting either a circumcision or another kind of party regarding a newborn. Rav lo ayel kamei nishmuel. Rav would not go in before Shmuel, wanted to honor Shmuel. Let's continue at the top of Omid Beis. Shmuel lo ayel kamei deravasi. Shmuel would not go in before Ravasi. Ravasi was older than Shmuel. Rashi used to show you a godol mimenu. He was bigger than him, whether it's in age or in scholarship. Either way, Shmuel deferred to Ravasi and would not enter before Ravasi. Ravasi lo ayel kamei derav. And Ravasi would not go in before Rav. Ravasi was a student of Rav, so certainly Ravasi was not going to go in before Rav. So here we have a merry-go-round, if you will. No one is going in. Rav, we said before, isn't going to go in before Shmuel. Amri ma nisrach. So they said, who's going to wait outside? Nisrach Shmuel. So they concluded that Shmuel will wait outside and Rav and Ravasi will go in. First Rav and then Ravasi, his student. So let's read that again. Nisrach Shmuel, Venesi Rav Ravasi. The Gemara asks, Venisrach Rav O Ravasi, why not have Rav or Ravasi wait outside? We mentioned that Shmuel was the one to wait outside. Why not have Rav or Ravasi? So the Gemara explains that Rav hesitated to go in before Shmuel was a function of an incident that happened in the past. Rav milsa bi'almo hu da'ovad lei b'Shmuel. Rav was making a gesture to Shmuel in not wanting to go in before Shmuel. Why did Rav feel that way? Even though Rav was, you can see, was the greatest of this particular group. Mishum ahu maise. There was an incident featured in Maseches Shabbos, the latye, that Rav had cursed Shmuel. Rav had, let's say, misunderstood or not understood fully what Shmuel was doing, and he issued a curse. I'm not going to get into the entire story over here, but such an incident happened that led to Rav, maybe we'll say wrongfully, cursing Shmuel. Adabre Rav Ole. So Rav wanted, as an act of atonement, as an act of repairing their relationship, so he would allow Shmuel, he would have insist on Shmuel going in ahead. But from by letter of the law, so to speak, Shmuel is the one really to wait outside. Now, while all of this is happening, while they were each one was avoiding going in, Adahachi Bachi, in the meantime, also Shunra, a Shunra is oftentimes translated as a cat. Those who are familiar with the end of the Pesach Seder and the Chad Gadya poem or song, you know that it says there also Shunra v'ochla l'gadya. The Shunra is some type of cat. Kate, it came on, this cat came along, Kate liyoda dianuka, and it bit off the hand of a child. Nofak Rav Vidorash. Rav came forth and taught. Tosfos adds that Rav informed the public that there had been a previous ruling that says as follows: Chosel, a cat, muter lehorgo, v'osur lekaimo, v'ein bo mishum gezel, v'ein bo mishum hoshev aveda lebailim. 4 points. We'll go over them. But Tosfos emphasizes that what Rav is teaching here is not a function. He's not inventing these rules because of the incident they just witnessed, the attacking cat. But rather, as a result of the incident, Rav publicized a pre-existing ruling that says, regarding a chosel, number one, mutilogu, you're allowed to kill one. You can kill it. Number two, v'yosur l'kaimo, you cannot keep it around. The ein bo mishum gezel, if one were to take one that belonged to someone else, he would not be in violation of theft. It's not something that is the subject of theft. And the ein bo mishum hoshev aveda labailim, there's no expectation that one is to return a cat to its owner. Some of these points seem to be redundant, and the Gemara is well aware of that. You can see on the side we have a Mivne, a structural note, which explains the upcoming triangles. They're Kushios al Hodidorash Rav Lagabi Chosel. The questions regarding point that Rav just made, the points that he made. We continue. V'kevon di'amris mutar lahorgo. Once you tell me that one is allowed to kill a cat, my new su also lekaima. What's the purpose in telling me further that it's prohibited to maintain them? You're allowed to kill them, so it's isn't it obvious then that it's also lekaimo? Mahu detema. Well, without stating also lekaimo, I might have thought mutar lahargo, isur aleka. It's mutter to kill them. However, if one keeps a cat around, he's not in violation of any prohibition. Komash malon, by telling me point two that it's also lekaimo, that in fact there's even a prohibition for keeping them around. Another question. Amri, the cave on the Amri Zain Boy Bishum Gezel. Once you tell me in point three that there's no violation if one were to steal it, my miusu, what's the purpose in telling me further, ein bo mishum hoshev aveda labailim, that there's no requirement of returning it to the owner? You're allowed to proactively steal a cat, so of course there's no issue of returning or no obligation to return it to its owner. What's the point here? Omar Ravina L'Oiro. So Ravina says the issue of not having to return, and if we just glance in Tosfos, Omar Ravina L'Oiro, she'im motzoi meis, if you found a dead cat, that was owned by somebody, ein chayav bashova saor. You don't have to return it for its skin value. Meisvei, we raise an objection. Rabbon Shimon ben Elozer Omer Megadlin Klovim Koyfim v'chasulin. This source, by the way, we saw on the bottom of Omer Aleph, and we have a little indicator to the side of the Gemara text where this is information was seen earlier. I'm referring to the arrows that you see to the immediate side of the Gemara text. We saw this in the lower part of Omer Aleph, where Shimon ben Elozer tells us, Megadlin Kalovim Koifrim V'chasulim. Notice the dashed underlining, Megadlin, that's Chasulim, V'Koifrim V'chudusnoim Neshasim L'nakus Abayas. So here you have a Tanaic source saying you're allowed to raise cats. Lo Kashya. There's no contradiction between this heter, this permission of raising cats, and the prohibition that Rav just promulgated. Ha be'uchma, ha be'chivra. By the way, this is going to take a few stages of analysis till we get to a conclusion, but in the meantime, uchma is black. Black cats, actually those are the ones you're allowed to raise. The white ones, chivra, the white ones, those are prone to injuring people. Interesting how, of course, our tradition doesn't necessarily correspond to some social myths about cat colors. Question, Vaha Maisa Darav Uchmahave. Above, we had an incident, and in that incident, a cat bit off a child's hand, and that happened to have been a black cat. So how can you say that the black cat doesn't attack people? The Gemara answers, Hosam uchmo bar chivrahave. In that incident, it was black, but its parent was white. Its black son of white. That is a problem, but black, offspring of black, that's okay. Question, Vaha mebaya baya le Ravina. Hey, Ravina asked about this. The boy Ravina, uchma bar chivra mahu. Black son of white, what is it? It seems that it's not clear that it's an attacking animal. And yet, you said before that the black son of white is a problem. The Gemara answers, ki kom ebayale le Ravina. What Ravina was not clear about was be'uchma bar chivra bar uchma. Sounds like an Oreo cookie. It's black, the son of white, in turn the son of black. So you have black on the two ends, and in the middle generation, a white one. That is what's not clear. Maisa derav, where you had something that was clearly an attacking creature, be'uchma bar chivra bar chivra, black son of white, son of white, have. I can practically guarantee you that the last couple of lines dealing with the cat ancestry has within it some deeper ideas that are not revealed by the Gemara, other than in this superficial fashion. But there's something deeper here that is beyond the scope of Gemara markings Daf Yomi, but nevertheless, it's worth looking into. Within the printer's parentheses, we have a kind of abbreviation, Chabad B'yud Ches Bochan Simen. The next few lines, we have a long marking to the immediate side of the Gemara text we call Shemos. There's four lines of names that appear in the Gemara, all of them having to do with the descendants of Papa. And the Simen that we just read is emphasizes letters that come up in the following names. In our markings, you can see we've squiggle underlined the letters that correspond to the Rosh HaTevis, the Simen, this acronym that we just saw. The Gemara. These are just names now. Omar Rabbi Acha Bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Abba Bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Ada Bar Papa. V'yamri lo Omar of Abba Bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Chia Bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Acha Bar Papa. V'yamri lo and a third version of three names. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Acha Bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. It's interesting, by way of names, we have a little note on the side. B'chol echad misholosh halashoynes Ravacha Rabbi Abba Mofiim Hamyuchodim b'chol loshen heim. In each one of the lashonos you saw Rav Acha and Rabbi Abba appearing. What was unique in each one, b'chol losh Hamyuchodim b'chol loshen heim Rav Ada and Rav Chia and Rabbi Chanina. If you take the key letters in each one of those names, you get to our homemade simen, din, dalid, yud, nun. Let's now continue in the Gemara. We have a marking, and on the side of the Gemara under our mivneh, we indicate that this triangle shape is shalosh halachos shenemru al yedei b'nei Rav Papa. These are three halachas that were stated by the children of Rav Papa that we just went through. So now in the Gemara, number one, Masrin al Hachichuch b'Shabbos. The word Masrin, Rashi says Masrin b'Tzibur. First of all, this is a public form of prayer, of crying out, b'Tzibur u'b'Tchina u'b'Shofros, through prayer, through beseeching, supplication, and shofros, and blowing of shofars, b'chatzotzros, and with trumpets, and all of this can be done on Shabbos. We indicated shofros. I just want to point out that Tosfos disagrees with that explanation of Masrin, but we read the Rashi for our purposes. So the first halacha in this list is that one is allowed Masrin al hachichuch. What's chichuch? Rashi says chichuch shchin. Shchin is or boils. Shem is chachich adam olei. It causes a person to rub or itch himself. So if that appears in the community, so you can on Shabbos pray and beseech. Shabbos is a day, generally speaking, where supplication is avoided. But here there's an imminent problem, and hence we have this allowance. Number two, Videlis Hanin Elis Lo B'meira Tipotach. Literally translated, but we have to give a further explanation in a moment, but literally translated, the door that is closing, it will not quickly open. What does that mean? That's a reference to a person who finds himself not achieving success. So when a person finds himself in a failing position, he won't quickly be successful. Rashi adds here that the purpose of knowing this is so that the individual increases his prayers to achieve the success. But leaving things as they are, when a person starts to experience failure, it's downhill from there, so to speak. So if you want salvation, you better increase your prayer efforts. Number three, Valokech Bayis Beretz Yisrael, one who purchases a house in Eretz Yisrael, who's purchasing it from a Gentile. Kosvin Olov Oinoi Afilu B'Shabbos. One is allowed to write a document, a transfer of property, even on Shabbos. So we went through three points. Certainly the last point is amazing if you were to leave it as is. The Gemara now goes over each one of the points one by one, and with our markings you can navigate. You notice the double underline and also the numbering. So the Meisvei is a question regarding point one. A few lines later, there's another double underline regarding where you see point two is quoted. and later point 3. So all questions hopefully will be dealt with as we go on. Meisvei, regarding point 1. What was point 1? About Masrin al Achichuch b'Shabbos, public prayer and beseeching on Shabbos because of Chichuch, the boils. Meisvei, we ask, Ushar Puranus Misrakshus Ubois al Atzibur, other kinds of troubles, afflictions that come upon the public Kagon. Examples, and here we want to emphasize our markings. We dashed underline chichuch, and at the end of the line lo hoyu masriyin. Right away, you see the problem chichuch lo hoyu masriyin. So the source says all kinds of troubles that come upon a community like chichuch, chagov, locusts, zvuv, flies, tzira, some type of stinging flying creature, maybe like wasps, v'itush, another small creature that insect, maybe a mosquito, v'shiluach nechoshev akrovim, attacks of snakes and scorpions, lo hoyu masriyan. Rashi adds here, on Shabbos there would not be masriyan, ela tzoyakim, and tzoyakim, Rashi adds, biyochid, so that on Shabbos, no masriyan, which Rashi before emphasized was a tzibor activity. So that is not allowed, but tzoakim, private prayer, is allowed. So we have a problem. What? How could the Bar Popa people teach masriyan is allowed when this Tanaic source says it's not? Lo kashya. There's no contradiction. There's no difficulty here. Kan balach, kan biyovesh. As far as how to explain this, what they are, so the Shita Mekubetzes features commentaries that elaborate on this. But for our purposes, it's enough simply to say that a distinction is made between lach. Lach means it's moist, it's fluidy, liquidy, moist. Yovesh means dry. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shchin Sheviya Kodesh Baruch Hu al HaMitzriyim, the Shchin, which was associated with the Chichuch, the Shchin that was brought by the Almighty upon the Egyptians in the plagues, Lach Mibachutz V'Yovesh Mibifnim. It had the characteristic of being moist on the outside and dry on the inside. Shneimar V'Yishchin Ababuos Porech Bodom Uva Behemo. And that's the posuk that describes the Shechin of Mitzrayim. Rashi says three lines from the end, Ababuos Porech Befrichosoi Dahainu Mibachutz Humivabea Dahainu Lach. On the outside it was liquidy, moist, Mechlal. So if only on the outside it's described as moist, you can infer the Bifnim Have Yovesh. So that the two sources, if you will, you have the teaching of the Bar Popas saying allowed Masriyan on Shabbos, and the source that says not allowed. They're talking about two different kinds of Shechin, of Chichuch. And we mentioned, if you want to be more precise, so then we refer you to the Machloikis Rishonim, the commentary disagreement on this topic, how to explain the more, found in the Sefer Shita Mekubetzes. V'delas haninelas lo b'meiro tipotach maihi. What do you mean by the closing door won't open quickly? Marzutra Omar smicha. Marzutra says this is a reference to one attempting to receive smicha. Smicha is sometimes translated as ordination. It was a tradition that ended in the Amoraic period of receiving permission and confirmation in judging different types of monetary matters, that without this confirmation one would not be allowed to judge those cases involving knas. The Gemara speaks about that elsewhere. A second pshat, Ravashi Omar, Kol Hamriyin lo, lo b'meiro metivin lo. This is along the lines of what we explained earlier, that, and by the way, do note that this is number one. Rav Ashi says that one who is Marian from has the root of the word Ra. Someone who's experiencing negative experiences will not rapidly have a turnaround and experience positive things. Or someone who is oppressed by others won't find himself quickly being benefited by others. Rav Acha midifti amar li olam ein mativin lo. A person who experiences the Marila will never have it good. He adds, in other words, he's more extreme in how bad things are. And the Gemara rejects this, though, velo he. That's not so. Rav Acha midifti milsa denafshehu damar. Rav Acha was simply sharing his own personal experience, but in other words, he was having a very hard time, and he reacted that things are never going to be good for me. That's his own experience, but to say that as a rule, it would be unjustified. V'alokeach bayis be'eretz Yisrael kishvino of oino afilu b'shabbos. One who buys a house from a Gentile in the land of Israel would be allowed to write the transfer document. Ono is the shtar, the document, even on Shabbos. But Shabbos, how could that be? Shabbos is forbidden in writing. You are not allowed to write on Shabbos midoraisa. It would be a Torah level prohibition to write even two letters. How in the world then can you give license for writing a shtar on Shabbos? Ella kedoma Rava Hasam. Rather, as Rava explains over there, this din of writing a shtar on Shabbos is Oimer Lenochri Veisa. You can turn to a Gentile and have him write up the document. So that's what Rava says elsewhere. Hochinami Oimer Lenochri Veisa. So too will apply that idea to our case involving the purchase of a house from a Gentile on Shabbos in Israel. You're pressed for time. The fellow who's selling you might not hang around very long, so take advantage of the time you have right now to have a shtar written. So on Shabbos you can ask a Gentile to write it up. V'afagav the amir lenochri shvushi. Even though in general, asking a Gentile to do what would be prohibited for a Jew to do is forbidden. Shvus means there's a rabbinic restriction in turning to a Gentile to ask him to do prohibited Shabbos activities. Mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael lo gozu be'rabbanan. Out of our interest for settling the land of Israel with Jews, the rabbis did not impose their restriction of Amira Lenochri. And hence, without any rabbinic restriction, go ahead and ask a Gentile to write up the entitlement, even if it's on Shabbos. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmin Rav Yonasan halukech ir beretz Yisrael, one who buys a city in Israel, kofen ose likach lo derech me'arba ruchoseha mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael. Another example, and that's what we highlighted with our diamonds, another example of our concern for the settling of the land of Israel, that if one were to buy a community, he must buy access to the community from all four directions. And that is that too is a consideration of the proper settlement of the land of Israel. So that if we apply the explanation we gave to the house, to this particular case, you're buying a city from, let us say, from Goyim, from Nochrim, from Gentiles in Israel. It's not enough that you buy the city and leave the access to it in the hands of the Gentiles, but you want to buy the access routes to the city as well as the city itself. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.